So you look for reasons to bet against favorites, but that's not the case here. This is not the favorite of the race. Probably Buckland's Halo, huh?
Probably. No, I got it again. He wins the stable prize on the third.
What was he? 2-1, Buckland's Halo. Michael Berry was the favorite. Oh, morning. He was the morning line favorite? Okay.
Jungle Jacqueline was second favorite at 350. Michael Berry was at 590. Burgundy Bonus at 510. And Canaman was 420.
Okay.
This is kind of a situation where every horse in the race has got something wrong.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Tom.
And when you see that, you just kind of have to take the one that has the least. Things wrong with the best pay.
The point was made. The comment was made up front that the morning line favorite was Michael Berry, though, huh? Was it? Oh, was it? Oh, it was Cannon Man then, huh? Okay. Michael Berry is a consensus. God Almighty! All right. That's amazing. Okay. Let's look at Michael Berry. He's next. All right, now Michael Berry's off for more than a year. So don't be tempted to go back and take that race on November 3rd at Santa Anita. It's 1988 and he's a two-year-old, right? That's like taking a grammar school kid's efforts and now comparing it to adults, right? Okay, so don't be tempted to that. Lock into the current form cycle on this guy. Don't go back to something that happened eons ago. Michael Berry, let's look at his last three races. He comes back at 40, right? $35,000 entry. Okay, and he runs through the half, and he doesn't lose any ground, and then falls back. Now, off of that, look at his next drop. Look at that drop. He drops from 35 to 10. And down the stretch, he's clear by a length and a half, and he gets caught at 10. Now, look at his next race. He's going through the quarter to the half at a lower level. He doesn't even meet your guidelines, right?
No.
And he's through, as you move through the second fraction, he's looking for a place to rest already. Now, what makes this horse the consensus choice? Julio Canani claims him. And when I said you have to know the trainers that can't win, you also do not want to be one of these people that says, Canani claimed him, therefore he will win. Therefore, it is written in stone. I can't believe this is the consensus favorite. Buckland's Halo, huh? No, but the consensus choice was Michael Berry. All right. So don't you guys. I mean, just be aware of the trainers that can't win, and there are a few of them, and I'll show you an example here in a moment. But don't ever go overboard on some of these people. I mean, make the horse the primary focus here. Oh, sure. Percent early had to be way too high. But the point is that he can't get through the quarter at a lesser level. Now, what's Canani supposed to have done to this horse in 15 days to make it all of a sudden reverse all of that, go on a closer's track, go a mile and an eighth? You would leave him in terms of analyzing the early pace to see how he stacks up against Cannon Man early on. Okay. Now look at Jungle Jacqueline. Does he fit your contender guidelines? All right, first of all, let's deal with a couple of situations. He can win at this level. All right, does he drop in class? Yes. Is it a positive or a negative? It's a little too much, isn't it? Okay. Yeah, but that... Okay. Okay, but let me just kind of address that, the logic on that. And you're right, they won't lose money, right? But they will no longer earn. That's why you claim the horse in the first place. So the fact that it drops down, you can look at it one way and say, well, they won't lose any money on this. And a lot of very good handicappers analyze it that way. Except I think that's the wrong analysis. Okay. No, but I mean, I'm talking about on earning out, because I just want to address that topic. Because a lot of good handicappers will say, well, the horse, they claim the horse for 12.5. They're going to get 12.5 back. They'll have earned this money. That's great. Except now you got to take the 12.5, find another horse, and hope that one can run. The point is, when they drop it down, even if they're going to get out on that financially, the point is, when they drop it down, it tells you the horse isn't going to be any star anymore. And that's what you want as a handicapper. Yeah, but now you've got to take your 16 and go find another horse. That's the point. If he can continue to earn at a higher level, they'll leave him there until he can't earn anymore. Then they'll drop him down. You as the owner, you're fine. I get my money back, right? You as the handicapper, I don't care if you get your money back or not. I know the horse isn't going to run as well when you drop him down there as he was up there. You'd leave him there. That's the right analysis. Let me tell you, we're also getting a little subtle. This is a little advanced. This is not what we're trying to address right now. The point is that he probably did hurt himself. And I think, how many of you would think that looking at this, if he'd have been back in a week, would you excuse that race based on the trouble line? Me too. If he'd have been back in 3 weeks, I'd have excused that race. He's back in what, 8 weeks?
You don't think they can fix it?
Well, they might be able to fix it, but the point is, if they weren't able to, yeah. Bet the horse now because Sanford Schulman claimed it. There will be a lot of people. If nothing else, it's those people. They bet very early, and the price was way down here somewhere for a while. Then eventually, when they run out of money, the price comes back up on some of these horses. And that's their betting pattern. I mean, they just do that. But somebody's doing the same thing with this Michael Berry. I mean, there's no, I can't imagine any of you coming up with the right figures from your programs, regardless of what they are, to make Michael Berry the consensus favorite. Okay, so don't you do that. Don't you bet this horse now just because Sanford Schulman claimed it. Because he's made some really bad, he's made some good claims, but he's made some very bad claims just by sheer volume. Okay, Jungle Jacqueline, let's go back. Checked at 7.5 is the trouble. Everybody know where the 7.5 is? Well, that's 7.5 furlongs from the finish, which means, guess what? Where is it? It's early on, isn't it? It's early on. And when they do that, when they're in that clubhouse turn and they have trouble, it's kind of serious. Think for a minute, I would be more inclined to excuse this race if it said took up badly at 7.5. But what did this say? Check. If you've ever seen them check a horse, they just, this is all it is, right? And they kind of get him straight again and go. If this horse needs an excuse, the horse still runs in a race. This horse didn't run at all. Now, I happen to know that it threw two shoes. Well, that could have cost me a lot of money yesterday if I'd have decided to play on that. But we don't know that. And we never know that. So just look at this. If this race needed excusing, it should have been a lot more serious than just checked, and it should have shown some run after it was checked. It should have made some kind of a sweeping move or some other such thing to indicate that the check was serious and it still had run in it. So now it's a relatively minor problem at an important point in the race, but nevertheless, it's a minor problem. The horse shows no run after that, and it's off for almost 2 months after that, and was dropped from 32 to 16. That's why I say take some of these races, put down a list of pros and cons. Now, as you put the pros and cons for this horse, how many pros do you think you might get? Maybe one, huh? Don't have a lot of that. He wins at 10, fifth, he wins at 20, so he's about right at the level. So you might say he's in class anyway. But how many pros do you get versus the cons? Don't you get a lot more cons on this guy? And then when the race is over, you can look back at it and say, okay, what did I think was positive about this horse? What did I think was negative? And you're going to have a lot more negatives on the horse than you will positives. Well, I think it was fairly regular, wasn't it? Yeah, but the layout, it's got a nice 6-furlong work. That's all right. That workout pattern wouldn't bother me on the horse. It's regular, and he's got a 6-furlong work just recently. I mean, that wouldn't bother me. It was only how many days ago? 6 days ago. That's... The issue is the pros versus the cons here, and if you do that regularly for a while anyway, you'll be surprised at how many calls you've made just because you want to make them, as opposed to what you should be making. Let's go back to Burgundy Bonus. How many of you chose his last baseline? How many of you chose his previous? Of the two, which one's the more serious trouble line? They're both serious, right? Let me tell you where you are wrong with this horse. No matter which way you turn, you're wrong. If you get too forgiving, I mean, if you forgive the last race, you go back to the last race, which had an equally troubled line, wide both turns, so it's the same line. If you go back three, he bottles at the start at a mile and a quarter, a race in which you can't handle it anyway with your computers. If you go back beyond that, you catch a sloppy track. You go back beyond that, you catch a slow race in which he was coming off of a seven-month layoff. And I'll say to you that I probably would have used the last line. And I would have discouraged the horse a little bit because, even with the trouble, which he seems to have every time now, that he wasn't up close at the stretch call. But if you use the previous race, that's fine. Aren't the fractions about the same? Yeah, his fractions are about the same. Aren't they the same? Doesn't he go about 47.3 and about 112 both those races? So you're not going to get hurt here. Yes?
Consider using it almost because he went wide on two turns and still won the darn race.
I agree. That's the only reason I would consider using it. So he overcame the trouble. Yeah. What's this? Absolutely. That's why.
Keep going wide on the turn. Something's still wrong, and it's going to get to him eventually.
I agree. If he went wide the race before, wide last time, wide both races, right? Okay, so basically you got the same trip both times. One was a serious decline over the previous. Probably. I mean, how many days did they give him off?
Out in this race, but he came out of the three hole. Now, he thought that might be a questionable that he was lugging or something.
Well, they would have said lugging, but I mean, it's difficult to get wide throughout out of the three hole. I admit that.
Yeah.
It is strange, but nevertheless, he managed to do it. It's right here on paper.
Yeah, well,
okay. Now, I didn't mean that humorously.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. If you're going to choose a pace line on this horse, if you make him a contender, he basically fits the guidelines as far as we established them because he had some excuses in his last race. Here's the essential analysis on this horse, I think. How long was he off after that race in which he was wide and kind of stopped running after the eighth pole? What did they do just on the day he raced? Didn't somebody claim him? That's a negative sign when you can't get a horse back to the races that you claimed. You claim them anticipating and running them back. Well, that's because it could wait 30 days. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay, so that's also a negative. So, I mean, the last race is, some of these are very difficult. If you make the right call, you win. You make the wrong call, you lose. This is an excellent example race for you to use this pro and con thing. Write the pros down, write the cons down. Now, I'll tell you exactly how I would have treated this race. Since I was in here, we had to treat it together. I would have used, if I were going to use him as a contender, I don't like him. And I don't like him because of the claim, the 37 days, and back to the races now, off of what was apparently a decline because he was wide in both the races. But if I'd have used him at all, I would have used the last race because it kind of reflected his state of being at that time. They were both wide. Now, if he's wide throughout this time and had no excuses in the previous to indicate that that's the way he's running, then I might consider going back. But the analysis for me is the claim, the 37 days, the going wide, and stopping a little bit last time. Write those down. I didn't run any figures on these races. That's not what we're going to do today. What about thresh it out now? Which line do you want to use? Okay. I think it's a mistake to throw it out. No, it's not. No, because he didn't win the race. I think it's just kind of a mistake to throw him out. What about his last race? Okay. I would too. Okay. All right. So if you don't use his last race, it takes you back to the previous, right? Well, how do you get past that one? No. Not the difference between 12, 20 and 16. That's a very narrow difference. Very narrow. Now, I mean, this is why Cannon Man won by 9, folks. It's because of horses like this in there as contenders. Okay, you can't throw him out. I mean, because he's in good form. The fact that he ran third and neck on March 23rd, and he sure does. Yeah, let me tell you how much of my win money would have been on him.
That's why I said
the route this goes back to the official trail.
Well, okay. Third back? What's the difference? I got to tell you, the difference between a mile and a 16th and a mile and an eighth. See, I can't get past the mile and a 16th if I try to do it that way. So that locks me into the second race back. Okay? Because the difference between a mile and a 16th and a mile and an eighth is about that much. It's just not a big difference. Now, look at his last race for just a moment. When you think you might want to go beyond one of these races, look at the races starting with February 10th on this horse. Thresh it out. At the stretch call, he's ninth by 11, and he gains three, right? In his March 7th race, he's moved up at the stretch call, and he continues on to win. On his March 23rd race, he moves up by the stretch call and continues on to win second, or third, a neck, right? On April 7th, he was within 11 at the stretch call, and he comes on to run 6 3/4. In his last race, after making the same sustained run he often makes, for the first time in that whole sequence, he actually flattens out and loses ground. Now, the problem with throwing him out is that if you play exactus, you just threw him away. But, I mean, needlessly, this horse could easily finish second here. Right now, he could win as far as we're concerned. That's all we've looked at. Burgundy bonus and Thresh It Out. Right now, Thresh It Out can win as far as I'm concerned, even with that running style. Now, I wouldn't have bet him. I got to be honest with you. If I'd have come down to Thresh It Out as the winner of the race, I would not have played. The reason I wouldn't have played is just because I know the negatives on betting these horses at trail. Somebody said, oh, he's a habitual trailer, and he is. Those horses do not win their fair share. And what's his winning percentage? 5 for 69, folks. Now, how would you like to have bet him 69 times now? I'm serious now. I don't know. Yeah, if he goes off at 100 to 1, which you know he's not. All right. Very good exacta horse. See, and this is, oh my God, I'm glad you mentioned that. This is the habitual trailer. Thresh It Out. In 69 races, 5 firsts, 10 seconds, 8 thirds. That's typical of this kind of horse. This is a horse that runs out of room, can't quite get there because there's always somebody in front of him that's better. And yet they're running all the time late, and they're picking up horses that are stopping in front of him, speed horses that have been defeated on the lead. He goes by. Losers out of form, he goes by. Pressers that are put away, he goes by. Okay? I'm glad you mentioned that because he's a perfect example of these horses. Now, Benavides. Compare Benavides and Thresh It Out. Use the same race, and you get a comparison of the two horses. Now, let's look at the importance of trainers for just a moment. And when I said you find trainers that you can't bet, you don't bet them. All the rest of them assume that they're playable. I mean, don't hang up on the trainer here. You'll lose a lot of bets at $10 and $12 that you should have made. But there are certain trainers around that do badly. I'm not going to just single this guy because he will win a race occasionally. But look at Benavides. Look at this horse. Look at 1989 record. This horse in 1989, in 8 races, was winner 5 times, second 1 time, third 1 time. 7 of 8 in the money, 5 wins. He's not a hanger. He is a win horse. Now, he's trained by a guy by the name of Lonnie Arterburn in Northern California. He's an outstanding trainer, an outstanding racehorse. Now he decides to bring him down to Del Mar last year, and somebody takes him for 50. Whoever took him for 50, 2 races later, off of his layoff, drops him all the way to 20, and they lose $30,000 on that transaction. Now, that ought to give you an idea of the horse's condition to start with. Now, look at the trainer that claimed this horse is a man by the name of David Cross. He's another one that needs breadcrumbs to find a winner's circle. Now, look at the horse now with this guy training it. One at 32, he runs at 32, drops to 20, does not improve, drops to 18, which is a $20,000 race, and he improves a little bit. So now you can start looking at him again. But off that improvement, in which he might have found the right level, what does this guy do with him? He steps him up a level. On an older horse, I said earlier, that's a negative more often than not by far. So what does this guy do? He steps him up instead of leaving him where he might have a chance to win. At 25, then he drops him back to 20, and sure enough, he was about a $20,000 horse. He ran very well. So now another trainer by the name of David Harper, who is only marginally better than David Cross, has got the horse now. Here is a horse that was 5 for 8 with a second and a third. His lifetime record is now 5 for 17 with 2 seconds and 2/3. It's what happens to some of these horses that have potential. He was really a good horse up there. I mean, he was tough. All right, Buckland's Halo now. Which line do you want to use? Take the last line. On a declining, this horse is obviously declining. 25, he drops to 20. He drops to 16 and actually gets beat at 16 after winning at 20. He's a decliner. Now, that doesn't automatically guarantee him a loser because it's not his negative pattern. I mean, he's still at 16. That's what he did last time. That's what you have to look at here. Consider him a negative, though. He's a decliner, and don't go past that last race, or you wind up with a much better race. The horse has obviously declined. When they're on the declining part of their form cycle, don't reach back and decide you want some other race. Yes, Stitches now we threw out, right? Okay. It won't even keep you in chump change. Cannonman, last race, right?
Yeah.
Period. The only negative against Cannon, there's negatives on every, most of these claiming races will contain negatives on virtually every horse. The only negative on Cannonman is that don't step him up. And obviously it wasn't much of a negative, it was just a mistake. Michael Berry, and since you're getting 4-1 on Cannon, if you're getting 9-5 on Cannon Man, don't take the negative. You can pass. They allow you to do that. Did everybody know that? You don't, but they allow you to pass. But at 4-1, I mean, that's a tempting play. I mean, when we looked at this race yesterday, I was almost assumed that Cannon Man would be 8-5 in it. Michael Berry, we threw out, right? Okay. Jungle Jacqueline, we threw out. Okay. If you don't throw it out, you're using the second race back, in which it, on a 24 variant, is not a bad race. And he came home in 31 and 3 on a slow track. So he came home very well that day. But anyway, we threw him out. So that's the way we get at it. We got the right contenders. What have we got? We got a marginal contender in Burgundy Bonus, did we? Some people didn't like it, some people did. It's not going to rate well anyway, but that's not the point. Thresh it out. We made Bin of Ice a marginal contender, but no matter what method you use, Bin of Ice will not compare with Thresh it out. So that eliminates Bin of Ice once you establish your figures. Buckland's Halo may come up all right in here, but you're biting some big negatives on the what, co-favorite, did you say? Buckland's Halo?
The favorite.
So you're biting some big negatives on this horse. Cannon Man, you're getting 4-1 with just a minor negative. Michael Berry, you threw out. And Jungle Jacqueline, you threw out. I beg your pardon?
You don't even have to stick
it. Often you do not. Often you do not. Stick it in the computer. Or did he tell me to stick my computer? What was that? let me go back over that one. All right. Very quick. Now, we're going to look at another race from yesterday. We're going to do this one together, though. Let's look at this race for just a moment, and then we'll go to one of today's races. This is a race that let me have the results chart. I'd like to know how, because I know the winner of this race we left in yesterday, but I don't think we'll go through we've done one additional race today, so we won't go through the entire process. This is a race that's won by High Hook. And High Hook wins this race overcoming the profile that we had established to win his third in a row. The horse that we kind of decided was going to be tough to beat yesterday was Right Rudder. Now look at Right Rudder, but nobody got overboard on this horse. Look at Right Rudder. He's dropping from 40 to 32. Look at his race down on November 9th. Basically, this is where it belongs, right? Look at his record, though. Lifetime record. Look at it. 4-35, 4 wins, 10 seconds. Get nervous about your win bet on a horse like that. All right. He ran second in here and had a 2.5-length lead at the 8th pole. Again, he's second. That's 11 times. But that was the observation we made on Right Rudder. But he was definitely a contender in here. We threw out Burnt twice. Can you everybody see that all right? The horse obviously needs a class drop, but the horse caved in around the turn last time, and that's what we said before. Even though it was up close at the first call, it had just lost all touch with his field by the time it hit the second. Okay? That fits the guidelines. That's just fine. Look at Winchester Drive. Look at the pattern on this horse starting on July 29th. At an allowance 36,000, right? It had to be, what, a non-winner's two. Non-winner's three. If you look back on June 7th, it wins a non-winner's one. In its next race, it wins a non-winner's two, which means that on July 29th, it was a non-winner's three, and that's a very high level. Now, off the layoff, they drop it to 62.5, and it shows speed to the second call, and then backs up. That's not all that bad a comeback race, right? Except that it really caved in late. Off of that race, what should the next race have been? Should it have been an improvement or not? All it did was clone the previous. Now it drops again. Now this horse is liable to drop all the way out of sight. So don't expect it to turn around that pattern. But you need it in terms of analyzing the pace. Now here's the horse that we threw out yesterday. Some of you know that James Quinn and I did a series of seminars in San Anita on the weekends. We kind of had fun doing it. One of the things that we were stroke tallying until about the fourth or fifth week, and then it just got monotonous, but was these negative droppers, horses that we said to avoid as the favorite. The first 34 horses that we said to avoid, 2-1. And virtually all 34 were favorites. Okay? So somebody, you can make a case sometimes, well, you know, the horse is, he looks good, he's the best horse, he ought to win anyway on the negative drop, right? Except that was 2 for 34 that we said do not bet that horse in that situation. Now, anybody that wants the 2 can have them. I'd rather have the other 32 because both the 2s were favorites. Okay, so that's pretty much the way it works. So yesterday we had one horse that we threw out as a serious negative. It was a co-favorite in this race, Royal Eagle. So we spent a little time as a class in this group. Look at this horse winning a non-winner's 2. Ask me how I know that. On December 16th, because I just happen to know where he was running. But nevertheless, he wins an allowance race, runs second in another allowance race, runs fifth in one against very fast paces. Then they drop him to 50, which is probably where he belongs, and he responds by winning by 5, right? Now, what do you do with a horse like that if you were the trainer of the horse? Yeah, step it up. But what else would you do? Run him right back. Boy, we've had the good fortune of having several trainers in these sessions over the last few years. And that's always the, because then that gives me the opportunity to say, what would you do with a horse? So I have it back tomorrow. That's what they do with it. Now look at Royal Eagle. They step it up to 62.5, which is not an unreasonable stance for class level. They're off 38 days to do that. The horse lugs out badly, and between the half mile and the eighth pole, this horse caves in, right? It's uncharacteristic. Now what do they do with it? Look where they dropped it to. They didn't even bother with the $50,000 level where it won by 5. Now you, as another trainer at the racetrack, if you're looking at this and you're not very bright, you see this horse and you say, holy cow, this horse won by 5 at 50. I can have him for 32. Look at it from this standpoint. Look at it from this point of view. I'm going to take him at 32. That's the wrong analysis. Did Schulman claim him? No, I don't. Did anyone? I had it here. Did anyone? Woo! Nobody claimed this horse. He was through after the half. He was only beaten about 4 lengths, and he was co-favorite in the race. This is a horse you bet against. This is a negative dropper. It's an extreme negative dropper. This would just hit you between the eyes. But pay attention to that $50,000 race where he won by 5. That's one of the keys to this. Okay. We threw him out and decided that no one should bet him. Superb moment. We made him a contender, but made everybody realize that this is a horse stepping up off of a losing race as an older horse, right? It's a negative, but you don't throw him out for that. You just remember that when it's time to bet. If you can't beat him on paper, then you can play him. But if you can beat him and think you can beat him, then you play against him. Yes.
So that stepping up off a non-win is not a throwout.
Oh no, it's not a throwout.
That's right. If when you're finished with it, the horse dominates all of your important readouts, or because I know we have a couple of people aren't using the fee per second stuff, but if it dominates whatever you're using, then you make the exception. But if it's just another horse, if it just kind of matches up reasonably well, that's not half of your two-horse bet.